sounds good. Forget, I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Thursday, January 3rd, 2007 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Yay! I've got mail. How about that? My internet light is green, and I'm broadcasting again the way I'm normally broadcasting. Now, as I've been mentioning all week, I've been on with Tim Wingate. Thanks to Tim, he kind of held down the fort for me while I was going through this moving transition. But I'm going to do an expose on Russell Means today. But before I get into that, there's a couple things I want to go into. First, I had mentioned yesterday on my show that I was going to go out last night and take a survey to find out exactly what percentage of people in the Scottsdale area had done their Christmas shopping with cash versus credit cards. And I did just that, but before I got there, before I got over that way, I was fascinated as I drove down Shea Boulevard. All the way down Shea Boulevard, I noticed Ron Paul signs on every telephone pole.
As we mentioned yesterday, you can go to his website, Aaron James Story.
I just got some feedback there. I'm sorry. But anyway, I thought that was rather fascinating that in a town like Scottsdale, Arizona, that Ron Paul was as popular as he was. And as I went out, I ventured out to a couple different places, Zetejas on Shea Boulevard, and also a place called Sapporo, a nice dinner restaurant. And I took a poll of, oh, I would say probably 50 people, and I want to give a quick note of thanks out to a few people that participated: Mark, Ryan, Cynthia, Lana, Wendy, Julian, Julie. A special thanks to Julie and Patty, of whom I had a really nice conversation with for a couple hours. But at any rate, the bottom line was I was expecting to see probably 70-30 that would have used their credit cards for Christmas gift. Now, if these people were telling the truth, then it was the exact opposite, because according to all of these people I interviewed, there was about 70-30 the other way. 70% of them paid cash, 30% of them used credit cards, and there was a few interspersed in there, Don, Ashley, Susan, that were about 50-50. But I don't know, folks. You think maybe it's catching on. You just never know. But, you know, again, this is going to be a fantastic year. Ron Paul signs up on both sides of the road, coming and going from Scottsdale. You know, that just blows me away. Okay, let's see. I'm going to get into – oh, before I get into this expose on Russell Means, there's one other thing that I want to comment on. Now, is on the I was going to say I was on Tim Wingate's show. Tim was sub-hosting for me, and I was kind of riding shotgun with him. But he had asked me a question yesterday regarding what I thought about Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the United States Treasury, being shot. And this relates back to the subject matter that I had been reporting on. I had Don Nikoloff on my show for a good couple of months. He'd come on every week and update us on Leo Wanta. And as most of you know, I've been down the rabbit hole, journalistically speaking, and I've done a lot of research on Leo Wanta. And I've confirmed that Leo Wanta does exist. The documents that have been filed in court do exist. There are several things that I have confirmed that do exist, but some of the reporting that's being done cannot be confirmed. So when I get back in three, I'm going to comment on this thing about Henry Paulson supposedly being shot, and even RBN's got it up on their website saying, damned if we do, damned if we don't. So I'll talk more about that when we get back. Stick with me. Got a good show today.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I wanted to comment real quick about the question that Tim Wingate had asked me yesterday regarding what I thought about the validity of Secretary of the United States Henry M. Paulson being shot in the chest. And I was perusing Republic's their website today. And I thought it was kind of funny, and I know this is a stat, Miller. It says yet to be confirmed, damned if we do and damned if we don't. But I wanted to comment about this because, you know, with all of the stories that have been flying around for the past, what, year and a half to 2 years on Leo Wanta, and yes, some of them I have confirmed, like the writ of mandamus that had been filed in the U.S. District Court of Virginia. But the stories just become wilder and wilder progressively. And this really should be the pinnacle, folks, because I have seen nothing about, in mainstream news, corporate media, if you will, about Henry M. Paulson being shot in the chest. And as I read this on Republic's website, it now is saying, this is reported by Christopher Story, he died today being yesterday, from gunshot wounds suffered as described in this report. The State Department have confirmed this to sources in touch with this service. We do not know, and it may never be known, whether Paulson was shot dead in the course of duty, given that he had continually committed gross treason in time of war and had repeatedly, we are informed, been warned of the consequences if he did not cease and desist. Now, for those of you who were following my show several months ago when Don Nikoloff was reporting every week on Lyawanta. This ties in directly with Lyawanta because according to the sources that are reporting Christopher's story, Henry Paulson is tied in with Cheney Bush, George H.W. Bush, and several others who are in this international money laundering scheme. And I will just leave it at this. If indeed it is true that Henry M. Paulson died yesterday from a gunshot wound, the best that we are going to see on mainstream, i.e. corporate media, is that he probably died of a heart attack or he had a stroke or something that was fatal. But I will say this. If it is true that Henry M. Paulson did succumb yesterday to something, then I would have to lay my odds and lay my bet down that the entire story, even the unconfirmed parts of the Lyawanta story, at least from my perception, is indeed true. And I will leave it at that. I'm going to follow this to see how it plays out, but I am certain, or at least I would think, that at some point in the not-too-distant future, we will get a report on the mainstream corporate media about Henry M. Paulson if he really did pass away. Okay, with that, I'm going to shift gears here and move on. Now, as I have been mentioning to you all week, I'm going to have the leading activist for the Lakota Nation, Russell Means, on tomorrow. Hopefully, I had spoken yesterday with his wife for a good 30 minutes. And she had informed me that they were leaving the Cheyenne Nation, and they were on their way now to Denver to make an appearance in court. Now, I didn't go into the details of that, but she was kind enough to let me know that they're on the road right now and that she wasn't sure what time court was supposed to take place. Now, I'm supposed to have him on tomorrow for the entire 2 hours. She did assure me that the interview is going to be done unless, of course, they are caught up in court. And if that is the case, then I told her that I would just reschedule it for my following show, Monday or Tuesday or whatever it takes. But I want to have this guy on for the full 2 hours. No matter, because I have enough on this gentleman to do an expose that if I had 2 weeks of two-hour shows, I couldn't cover it all. But at any rate, I'm going to start in here. There's a release that Russell Means put out January 1st of 2008, which is the day before yesterday. It's a notice to all foreign governments and private owners of real estate within the Republic of Lakota. And by the way, I want to preempt this by saying any time that Russell Means mentions white man, when he alludes to white man, he's not talking about us, folks. He's talking about the white men that are in control of the government. So this notice is put out to the United States of America, including the states of Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. The county and municipal governments operating within the Republic of Lakota and all private owners of real estate within the Republic of Lakota. Lakota, through its government, have appointed representatives to withdraw from all the treaties within the United States of America. Lakota, through such representatives, have formally withdrawn from all agreements and treaties with the United States of America. The reinstitution of our freedom and independence is found in law. Lakota has reclaimed sovereignty as a nation and over its traditional lands. Now, despite many years of repeated bad faith on the part of the United States government towards the Lakota people, the Lakota hold no animosity toward the American people, most of whom have had no part in the actions of their government. We wish to deal with the American people in good faith and in a win-win manner. While we have the right to impose liens on all of the real estate in our country, we prefer to come to resolutions with you all without resorting to such measures. Accordingly, at this time, we are only declaring liens on real estate held by governments foreign to the Republic of Lakota, but not on real estate held by private parties. That is what Russell Means is doing right now. He's placing liens on all government property that infringes upon their land. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States of America, and the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties substantiate this freedom. Lakota welcomes the opportunity to meet and discuss this matter. We are in the process of scheduling meetings and will issue public invitations. Should you desire input with regard to scheduling these meetings, please contact us at the above. Russell Means, Chief Facilitator, Provisional Government, Republic of Lakota. Now, let's get back to who exactly is this guy, Russell Means. And I have to be honest with you, folks, prior to 2 weeks ago when I originally reported on this press release that he put out to the U.S. Department of State or wherever it was in Washington, D.C., I had never heard of Russell Means. But as the in the investigative capacity of which I have, after I did that, I went down the rabbit hole, if you will, on this guy, and I was fascinated as to what I found. Now, I'm going to start this by telling you that starting – and this starts from 1991. Of course, Russell's activism goes back 30-some-odd years. But among his other accomplishments in an activism status, in 1991, he got a telephone call from a casting director by the name of Bonnie Timmerman. And she had called him on behalf of Michael Mann to film or to audition for a movie called The Last of the Mohicans. And Russell Means had never acted before. He didn't have anything to do with acting, didn't really care anything about acting from what I understand. And he told Bonnie Timmerman that if she wanted him out for an audition, and by the way, folks, in my limited capacity as an actor, I have been to several auditions, and you know, as far as from my experience, you have to get there yourself in whatever way, shape, or form. You get there, you show up, you do your audition, and they make a decision as to whether they're going to you know, cast you for the part or not. In this particular case, Bonnie Timmerman asked Russell Means to fly out to Los Angeles for an audition for the movie The Last of the Mohicans. Russell Means replied to her that he's not paying for it, number one, and number two, he only flies first class, which is highly uncommon, if not uncalled for, in that venue. So ultimately what happened was is they sent Russell Means an airplane ticket for a coach seat. And Russell Means went off and did whatever he was doing at that point in time. I believe he was showing up at a hearing or something like that and basically just trashed it. And about 2 weeks later, Bonnie Timmerman gave him a call and asked why he didn't show up. And he said, because I told you I fly first class and you sent me a coach ticket. At any rate, they sent him a first class ticket. He flew out, auditioned for the part. 2 weeks later, he got a call to go back and talk to Michael Mann, and as things progressed, he wound up getting a part in the movie Last of the Mohicans as the character Chingak, or let's see how you pronounce that, Chingak Gook. That was his character. Now, he has gone on since then, and I'm going to read this off to you folks real quick. Last of the Mohicans. He's been in Natural Born Killers with Woody Harrelson, Wagons East, Windrunner, Buffalo Girls, Pocahontas. He was the voice of Powhatan, The Pathfinder, Written in Dust. He's been on Touched by an Angel. He's been on Walker, Texas Ranger, Song of Hiawatha, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Profiler, Duckman, Private Dick, Family Man, Remember When and How, Wind River, Downtime, Lady Killer, Nash Bridges, Pocahontas 2, Black Cat Run, Thomas and the Magic Railroad, Family Law, Cowboy Up, 29 Palms, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Wandering Bear, Black Cloud, Into the West, Pathfinder, Unearth, Intervention, and there's a post-production going on right now in a movie that he's filmed in 2007 called Rez Bomb. So this is how what Russell Means, outside of his activism, has been doing. Since 1991, he's been an actor, and he's been a prominent actor, and I'm certain that at least one of those movies that I have read off, or television shows, you have either seen or you've heard of. So with that, what I'm going to do, I have been talking about this book that I read, and I've spent, close to every waking moment for the past 3 days, any time I was able to, of reading this book. And I'll get into some stories in the book when we get back. So Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with me. It's going to be a really, really interesting show. And I can't do this man enough justice in his autobiography, but I want to let you know who he is before I bring him on tomorrow. Be back in three.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm doing an expose on Russell Means prior to his appearance on my show tomorrow. I want to give you a good overall feel for this man, who he is, what he's all about. Now, aside from his spiritual beliefs, I'm going to read a quote from Russell Means out of the epilogue of his book as to kind of give you an idea of what his philosophy is, his viewpoints on life. So here we go. One of the white man's enduring myths is about a great leader called Moses, who lived long ago when my ancestors were still a free people and his tribes were captive in Egypt. Moses went to the Pharaoh and begged, "Let my people go." Greedy and stubborn, the Pharaoh did not listen. So the God of Israel sent plagues to punish and frighten the Egyptians. Today, my people's tribes are captives of the white man's greed and stubbornness. His plagues punish us all with choking clouds of unbreathable air. Can you say chemtrails, folks? As I read through this, I'm going to go down with some of the similarities and why it is this fight that Russell has been in for his people and the freedom and the land and to get back to where they were. has similarities to what we fight as patriots. So let me continue here. His plagues punish us all with choking clouds of unbreathable air, poisoned water, soil desecrated with chemicals and radioactivity, violence stalking every community, homeless people crowding streets and parks, parents abusing children, legions of addicts sniffing or eating or smoking or injecting drugs, hospitals filled with people dying of cancer or heart disease or AIDS, and even worse may be yet to come, for the white man shows no signs of changing his ways. Just as the Pharaoh ignored Moses, the United States government did not hear my forebears. I say to my nation and to all indigenous peoples, to hell with the Pharaoh. Let us embrace the ideals of our ancestors. Let us show the white man how to find peace of mind by living in harmony with the universe. Let us show him how to honor and protect our grandmother. Our grandmother, he relates to, is the earth. Let us go. Now, this is a little bit into the mindset of Russell Means in his trek for the past 35 or so years in trying to get the United States government to adhere to the treaties that they entered into with the Indian tribes going back as far as 150 years. And what I found interesting, and I think I mentioned this to Tim yesterday on my show, is that this particular tribe and several other ones never surrendered to the United States government. They entered into treaties with the United States government, and then the United States government has succeeded in ignoring and trampling on those treaties. Henceforth, the reason why 2 weeks ago Russell put out this release to the U.S. Department of State and said, we are again declaring our independence, we are willing to negotiate, and we want to sit down and talk peaceably about a solution to this. Now, with that, I want to go into a few of the comparisons, why it is very important, at least in my mind, folks, and hopefully in yours as well, that we pay attention to what Russell's trying to do here. Because as I went through his book, I read it page for page, 570 pages, and I noticed a number of similarities that have been that he has been fighting, that his people have been fighting for many, many, many years. And I found it coming full circle to us as patriots, the same things that we are fighting now. This is my belief and my reason why we need to welcome them as allies in our fight, because I believe that together we can win this. Now, let me make a note here. A couple of comparisons. I noticed, and I'll read this quick excerpt here. Excuse me just a minute. I have to go to page 111. I believe it's page 111. Let me see. Well, maybe it's not page 111. Give me a second here. I'm looking at compare. Oh, okay. Page 111. Well, that's not right either. All right. Well, I'll just have to recite it by memory. Russell has a daughter by the name of Michelle. And what I found interesting is that Michelle, he reports in his book, started having seizures just prior to the age of 2. Now, I want to ask you folks, does that ring a bell? Remember, we've heard about these vaccines. I've had Wendy Callahan on my show, and they've talked about usually what happens is the autism rate is down now. It used to be 1 in 2,500 or something. Now it's down to 1 in 147 or something, some number such as that. But it usually happens on the third round of vaccinations, which would come at 18 months. Russell depicts in his book that his daughter Michelle started having seizures just prior to the age of 2, and it was diagnosed as her having epilepsy. And I wondered to myself, does that mean that she underwent the vaccines just like our children go? This is a question that's going to, if I have time, I'm going to pose to him tomorrow, but that is a similarity. Interestingly enough, he took her to a medicine man and treated her the way that medicine men treat her, with alternative healing medicines like I advertise with Cartavider, with Immunite, or Michael Anthony calls in with – he's an herbologist, and he talks about these alternative healing messages. And interestingly enough, the symptoms of epilepsy, which in our world, according to our medical profession, is incurable, Michelle, his daughter, has never had another bout with epilepsy, and it's been years. This, we're talking about 20, 30 years that this has gone on. She's never had another seizure. So that is a comparison. That's a similarity. Now, another interesting one that I found, and you have to give me a second while I go to page 217. This ties right into S-1959, the Homegrown Radicalization and Terrorism Act. And We'll continue this when I get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, doing an expose on Russell Means, the activist and the actor. Be right back. Stick with me.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, doing an expose on my guest tomorrow, Russell Means. And, you know, there was many demonstrations that the American Indian movement had put on and gone to back during the 60s and 70s and in the 80s. And one particular demonstration, why this ties in, well, I think it ties into S-1959, which is the Homegrown Radicalization Terrorism Act, is because the day after one particular demonstration, somebody, chemistry students or some college students, blew the head off of a campus replica of Rodin's The Thinker, one of only four in the world. They left a sign hanging from where the neck had been, and Russell sat there thinking about the Vietnam War, and it blew his mind. So he says, "I thought how fantastic what youth could conceive and accomplish. Responsibility for that explosive act of defiance was never fixed, but the Weather Underground, a group of mostly upper-middle-class students who bombed government buildings to protest the war in Vietnam, issued a public denial that it had done the deed, and that started the American Indian movement to thinking." So the American Indian movement decided to get in touch with every other dissident group that they could find. It says, we established contact with the Weather Underground, the Black Panthers, the Young Lords, the Puerto Rico Foundation Movement, the militant Chicano organization known as the Brown Berets, and the National Lawyers Guild, a small group of mostly young, mostly Jewish revolutionaries. These contacts, reported by informers, get this, folks, led the Nixon administration to label the American Indian Movement covertly as one of America's top terrorist groups. And what we see in our own world as we progress down the road with this legislation, this pending legislation, S-1959, is they're trying to label us, anybody that speaks out, a 9/11 truther, or somebody that speaks out against the Iraq war or the oligarch's agenda. They're trying to label us and get legislation in to do the same thing. So I thought that was a very interesting comparison between their fight and ours. Another interesting one is on page 375. Let me find that one real quick here. We hear all this hype about the HPV vaccine for our young adolescents between the ages of 9 and 12 years old from the Merck Corporation that's costing $900 and some odd for 3 rounds of vaccination. And it is my contention, is it possible that – I know that there's live cancer viruses and there's thimerosal in it, but are they also sterilizing our young girls? Back in 1972, if the Indians did not – follow the buffalo into near extinction. Wait a minute. Oh, yes, okay. It would be harder to seize the rest of our land. Between 1972 and 1976, the Indian Health Service sterilized 42% of all Indian women of childbearing age. The sterilization program affected practically every fertile Indian woman who walked or was carried into the IHS hospital. Pregnant women who came in to deliver their babies were tricked or forced into signing release forms. When they came out of anesthesia, they had tubal ligations, and even women who went in for appendectomies or sore throats were told that if they did not submit to sterilization, their children would be taken away or their families would lose welfare benefits. This has been going on for a long time, and they've been doing this to the Indians. And now, under, what is it? Let's see, is that Agenda 21, I believe, that the China has one-child policy, and it may be that it's coming here. Well, let's go along here. Another good one. Now, we know that they're using depleted, or at least they have been using depleted uranium in their wars over in Iraq. And Afghanistan. So let me turn real quick to page 400. What's interesting to note here is that uranium and other toxic contamination is found in every community under the ground of the reservations. And I find that interesting because the white man, in this case, the powers that be, the oligarchs, the New World Order, call them what you will, put any label that you wish to put on them, are using depleted uranium, and they're having results, supposed scientific results coming out of the RAND Corporation that basically says that you depleted uranium is okay to put on your pancakes in the morning. So here's another similarity. I could go on and on and on with this. I have several of them in here, folks. I would not have time to get to all of these today and be able to cover with you what I want to cover. I just want to see, let's see if I can find one. Here's one more interesting one I'm going to go in for you. Page 324. Give me a second. Oh, I've got a note here. Looks like I've got a caller on the line. Let me just make a note. Okay, let's take a quick call. I wasn't going to take calls till the second hour, but I've got a caller. So, yeah, go ahead. Put him on. It's Jeff in Vermont. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's just
me. I guess my main question I've been following the Indian movement too, and not in as depth as you have, but I guess the main question and the main premise is, even if they avoid and they get out of the treaties, contracts, whatever you guys want to call them, how is it enforceable? How are they going to get their land back? You know, I'm a private owner, and we have an Abnaki tribe up in Vermont, and if the state of Vermont said, okay, you guys can, you know, you guys are sovereign people or whatever, but you have no claim to the land, you know.
Okay, let me stop you there, Jeff. And let me say that from my understanding, it's the land that they're currently living on Okay, that's so what, and what, from what I understand, what Russell's doing right now is he's putting liens on it because they are raping their land that they're currently living on. So I don't want to get into a lot of that. I'm going to let him address that tomorrow.
Okay.
But I don't think that it's that they're trying to get their land back from us. As a matter of fact, that you know, they are ready and willing to work with us, you and I and the American people.
Okay.
But it is the government that is infringing upon the land that they're currently living on.
So the government's coming in and taking stuff that they want off their property, their land that they right, have a treaty with.
Right, and this is something that I'm going to let him get into because, matter of fact, there's one thing I'm going to go into here, which there's a chapter of his book that I'm going to read on a violation of the treaties. I mean, these people have entered into dozens of treaties with the United States government, and the United States government, going back as far as 150 years, has violated every one of them. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Jeff, they never surrendered. You know, when the Indian Wars were going back in the 19th century, they never surrendered. Okay, they entered into treaties with the government, with our government, and our government has proceeded to violate those treaties. So, look, what they're looking to do is to diplomatically renegotiate and get the United States government to adhere to the treaties that they've already signed.
That makes sense. The only question is, how's you know, how are they going to go about enforcing the treaty that's in a diplomatic way, and how is their nation going to enforce the treaty, you know, that they have? That's, you know, if they're not recognized.
Well, it's not a treaty is an agreement between nations.
But two people agree, and obviously they're going against the treaty, or they wouldn't be in this situation. The United States government, that is going against.
Right.
The treaty that they
have
signed.
Jeff, the United States government has been violating the treaties that they've entered into with the Indian nations for 150 years.
Yeah,
and
I know.
This activism, this fight for their freedom and their liberty and for them to live peacefully has been going on for a long time. Russell's been fighting this fight for 30-some-odd years, okay? And all they're trying to do is get the government to recognize and to adhere to what the government has already agreed to, So with that in mind – I haven't gone down all the rabbit holes on that particular issue yet. That's why I'm going to let Russell talk more about that tomorrow. But, you know, again, what they're not trying to, you know, kick us off our land. Mm-hmm. What they're attempting to do is get the government to recognize their own agreement. It's like you and I entered into a contract and you owe me $10,000 and you turn around and tell me, well, I'm not paying you. Okay. And I'm, you know, trying to diplomatically get you to, you know, respond and pay your loan for the last 150 years and you just won't do it. All right. So I have to take some kind of an action, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny that we try to, at least in our state, we try to enforce the state constitution to the government and they don't listen to us at all. And my hat's off to those people and they just got a long fight ahead because this federal government doesn't give an inch, you know, and if they want something, they have the means and the power, maybe not the authority to do anything, but they I'm sure in Washington right now they already have lawyers working on this, and they already have, you know, they already have like 10 steps that they've already gone through to resolve this problem. You know, there's so many people working for the government. They have thousands and thousands of people just, you know. It's just they have a fight, and I hope that this government.
Oh, I'll tell you, the atrocities that have been perpetrated on these people over the past 150 years are literally abominable. As I read through this book, and as I mentioned before, I was not able to put this book down, save to go to the bathroom or eat or sleep. But, you know, some of the stuff that I learned in coming out of the book, and I'm starting to use this as a reference guide now, some of the myths, some of the lies that you and I and the rest of the Patriot Movement and Americans as a whole have been taught all of our lives, pure garbage. And I'm going to, take some time and expose these as well. This is the truth about certain things, like Thanksgiving, like Christopher Columbus, like the Custer's Last Stand. They're all lies. And
World War I, World War II.
Well, they've all been lies. They've all been lies with an agenda of an elite group of people that are out for control, power, conquest. money and so forth. So, you know, and what's happening now, and this is why I'm so excited. I mentioned this the other day. I'm so excited because this is an awakening this year. We have got momentum going our way. We've got Ron Paul out there that is you know, gaining momentum. We're ripping the curtain back, and Americans left and right are starting to wake up. I drove to Scottsdale from Phoenix yesterday, and I saw Ron Paul not billboards, but signs up on every phone pole for 2 miles in either direction. And it just blew me away, Jeff. So, you know, here I am sitting here broadcasting, and I get out a little bit here or there. But I'm finding out as I interacted with people last night that I'm not isolated. And you, as a patriot, and the rest of the patriot listening audience out there, you're not isolated either. This is a vastly growing movement here of people who are even mainstream, corporate, you know, television-watching people that are waking up to what's going on. And it's really exciting.
I preach the gospel every time I can about this movement, and it's about freedom and the way, your way of life, and it's not about what you think it is. You know, it's great, and I'm very happy to teach my kids that, you know, it's the solution is not government, it's you and your personal responsibility as being, you know, a sovereign person on the land. You know, it's
exactly, and the, you know, a big part of it is just greed. It's avarice. It's control. It's psychopathy. You know, and we need to expose it. You know, like I've quoted many times before, Rodney King said, what was it, 1994? Can't we all just get along? You know, and that's the bottom line. Okay, well, listen, thanks for the call, Jeff.
I've got a
lot more to cover here. I'm gonna open up the phone lines here, probably the second hour, folks. But I want to share a few myths that were written in this book, and I know I haven't given you the name of the book. I'm going to today, though, and tomorrow we'll find out. I don't know exactly where. I didn't. They were going to tell me where the book could be purchased, but I told them to save that for tomorrow. I'm not making anything off of promoting this book, folks. I'm promoting this because I believe a lot of what's in there needs to be read and absorbed by all of us, because we can learn a lot from it. But let me get into here. Let me see. Give me a second here. I want to see if there's anything regarding these comparisons that I still need to cover. Here's another good one. You know, I've followed these trials of Larkin Rose and Irwin Schiff, that some of the tax trials, Sherry Jackson, you know, a lot of these, the trial with Randy Weaver and the lies that were told by the feds. And, you know, I see this pattern happening time after time after time. But yet, here on page 309, now, Russell was in a trial, and his words, the trial was shocking to me in another way. I wasn't prepared to see and hear handsome, clean-cut, all-American white men in short haircuts and IBM blue suits get up on a witness stand, swear to their one true God on the holiest document on their faith, the Christian Bible, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then lie. They didn't try to shade things. They didn't try to keep their testimony near the truth. They flat out lied. They put words in my mouth and in Dennis's that we never said. They denied doing things that they had done. They withheld evidence supporting our innocence and claimed it didn't exist. They spoke in perfectly correct English and answered every question so smoothly it was obvious that they had been rehearsed. They lied in front of the media, of the world, and in front of a packed courtroom. Even when defense lawyers caught them in a lie, they lied again and denied that they had ever lied. And they didn't even seem ashamed. I was 34 years old and had been through what I thought was a whole lot. But what came out of the mouths of FBI agents and U.S. attorneys during the months of testimony simply blew me away. Even today, I find it hard to believe. I still thought the government could be forced to live up to its own laws. As far back as I could remember, it had been hammered into my head, the white man has a civilized society. But it's impossible for an honorable culture to continue when its people are willing to lie to their God. After a while, I didn't even listen to the testimony. I just looked at the liars and thought about what I was watching. It began to register in my mind why the United States of America doesn't keep its treaties. I had always believed that those who were running things really wanted to follow them. Now I was seeing that they had never intended to. I realized that Watergate was unusual only because so many high-ranking officials got caught. America is a society built on lies and deceit. Now, does that ring true, folks? Think back, Waco. Think back to Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge and the prosecutions. Think of all these tax prosecutions that are going on and these people that stand up, these government officials that sit on a witness stand and lie with impunity. They've been doing that to the Indian Nation. They've been doing that to us. Not only have they done this to the Indian Nations, but they have trumped up charges on these people to try to silence them because they do not want the truth to come out. And what are some of these truths? I'm just going to go into just a few of them today, and I'm not sure that Russell will even want to address them tomorrow, but we'll see. Some of the myths that we've been taught, some of the things that I remember I learned in school, and the daily history class that I went in, pledging allegiance to the flag for the republic to which it stands, only to read in my history books about General George Armstrong Custer and Custer's last stand and that valiant man that he was, and he fended off so many Indians. It was all bunk. It was lies. Now, let's see, I got a break coming up real quick, but I'm going to get into just a few of the myths in the next hour. I'll open up the phone lines, folks, and I'll intersperse, these stories with phone calls. So stick with me. Call your friends and neighbors. I'm preempting this, doing an expose on Russell Means, because I just want to show you part of who these people are, what they're all about, why he's doing what he's doing, and maybe what we can do to help him. Be back in three. Stick with me.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Got a short segment coming up to the top of hour number two. And I'm gonna dispel a couple of myths here that we've all been taught in school. The first one would be that wonderful man, George Armstrong Custer. This is a quote. This is Russell Mean speaking. His grandma, her name was Twinkle Star, also told me something she had heard from her own mother and father. At the United States 7th Cavalry's sensitivity training session along the banks of the Greasy Grass River in 1876, which whites call the Battle of the Little Bighorn, George Armstrong Custer was not killed in battle. He took his own life, as did many of the soldiers in his command. It happened in this way. Grandma Twinklestar explained, Custer was well known among the members of the Allies encamped along the Greasy Grass. They hated him, but he was not a foe worthy of respect. Custer had built his reputation among whites as an Indian fighter, which, with sneak attacks on villages of women, old men, and babies. He was a butcher, not a soldier. Among the Allies and the Cheyenne and Arapaho, he was considered a dishonorable man. When he foolishly attacked what he thought were defenseless Lakota encampments near the Greasy Grass, he suddenly found himself facing armed men. Custer must have been shocked because he knew that unlike European Indians, kept no standing armies. Before the whites came, our conflicts were brief and almost bloodless, resembling far more of a modern professional football game than a lethal annihilations of European conquest. My ancestors found honor in striking an enemy with a hand or a stick, not in killing him. This we called counting soup. No self-respecting Lakota wanted the dishonor of killing a maggot such as Custer. I apologize here for insulting maggots, because they, too, were put here by the great mystery, and so have a purpose and a role in life. The Lakota were going to let Custer go, let him return to his people and suffer a lifetime of shame and humiliation he had earned by murdering women and children. Dozens of women, mostly armed only with what they could snatch up from their teepees, tools and cooking implements, ran towards Custer, yelling and screaming for him to run away. Grandma Twinklestar told me that Custer rode a very short way, then stopped. He looked back at the swarm of women, put a revolver to his head, and blew his brains out. Because no one wanted to soil his hands with Custer, the Lakota left his body where it lay. There were no white survivors of the encounter along the Greasy Grass, no white witnesses to Custer's death, and when white soldiers recovered his body a few days later, they put the best face they could on what they had found. They said Indians had so respected Custer that to spare a dying man further agony, they had administered a coup de grace. Out of that same respect, the Lakota had not mutilated the body. Bull! Not until I was a grown man did I read white accounts of the Little Bighorn. Grandma Twinklestar heard that story at the knee of her mother, who had been a child on the banks of the Greasy Grass, when her mother snatched up a cooking tool and ran to humiliate Custer. That's passed down from generation to generation to generation. And it certainly isn't what I learned in my history books at school, folks. What about you? But that's just one. Let me we're coming up to the top of the hour here. But let me go into Thanksgiving. Remember that turkey that we saw? Matter of fact, just last month. Well, actually, it's the month before last. Now, the end of November with Thanksgiving. What we all sit around and we've been told it's a celebration for the pilgrims that came to America and so forth and so on. Well, let's find out what really happened here in just a minute. Got a break coming up to the top of the hour. Second hour, I'll open up the phone lines. I'm going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about treaty violations, folks. So stick with me. Got a second hour coming up. Phone lines will be open, 800-313-9443. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with an expose on tomorrow's guest, Russell Means. Be right back.
And I'll keep paying. Since